It's good to have all of you here. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are truly in territory that we have never been in, or it's been a couple of centuries. We know that there was a battle for religious freedom in the founding of this nation. And now, for nefarious reasons, for wicked intent, there are those that are seeking to silence the voice of the church. I pray, God, that no matter what takes place, we would be found faithful. Lord, we joy and rejoice in your presence and in your promises and your purposes. May it be so until the time we stand before you. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. You know, sometimes as you're standing before people or you're sharing with God's people, you wonder just what it would take to, you know, what it takes to really get serious with each other and recognize, wow, what's going on. I just know this. This is not a time to be wondering what we're all about. That's why I'm glad on Wednesday night going to be getting back to our identity in Christ. This is not the time to be messing with sin. Amen? As you recognize what's going on, we need to realize that God has given us a time here that, you know, we didn't want to see, but we always knew could come. And so here we are. Gentlemen, am I on right now in the microphone? We're doing good? Okay. This last weekend, I believe I alluded to it Sunday morning, about the situation that was taking place with North Valley Baptist, that they had had papers put on their door regarding their gathering together, a cease and desist order. How many of you have seen the video that Pastor Treiber did this last week? Okay, most of you have not. You're going to be seeing that at the end of the service. When we flew out of here Sunday afternoon, all of a sudden my Facebook lit up and my telephone did as well. And especially with pastors who were amazed at what was going on, and we've got to do something. I felt kind of, you know, awkward, because it's like, hey, I'm traveling. I've got to be focused on preaching there in New Mexico. But this is what has happened. Fines have been levied, $5,000 a service at North Valley Baptist. So you take Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. They're gathering together. They're doing, you know, they've got space. They have the 6 feet, you know, here and there. Some of the people, not all the people, but some of the people, they're wearing masks. But North Valley is in Santa Clara County, and they have decided to get really rough. Now, understand something. The state has now taken over with some of the restrictions on churches. What is happening there has the potential for happening here. We're inside. They don't like it. We're singing. They don't like it. Pastor Treiber was told this. Well, you know, you can have 60 people meet outside. He says, it's smoky. People can't do that. Kids can't do that. Well, I guess, you know, you're right. You'll have to just do it again, you know, online. Folks, that's drop dead wrong. They had the college scheduled to open up. He told kids, you just come on in. And then they said, if you do that, you're going to be charged $5,000 every day. They had the potential. He mentioned $35,000 a week. Yesterday, on a video, he had to tell young people, go home. We're going to do it online. Golden State Baptist College lost $800,000 last year because they had to send their young people home. $200,000 because they had to close down their school. That's $1 million for those of you that went to government schools and you took math there. This is happening all over. There's a church down in Southern California. The police came to the church and told the people as they were coming in, if you go in, you can get arrested. 60 people went into the auditorium. The pastor was told by the police, look, we don't want the media here. He said, we don't either. So they made an agreement. At 1 o'clock after the Sunday morning service, he instructed his wife how to pay the bills and the deacons on what to do in the church, you know. But at 1 o'clock, the police would come and he would be arrested. And so that took place. He went before the judge and said, where is your lawyer? He says, I don't have one. I'm just here myself. I stand on the Bill of Rights. 4 weeks later, the judge threw it out. But this, again, is happening all over. So I start getting phone calls from back east. What in the world is happening to California? What is California Capital Connection going to do? Oh, boy. This is not the way to travel. So I spoke to a couple of pastors. Tim Schmidt, praise God, got involved. Thursday, there was a steering committee that met. And then Friday, there was a bunch of us that were on the Zoom meeting, and we're going to be continuing these meetings. But this is what's taking place. On October 9th, Friday, October 9th, we are looking for a massive turnout. Pastors are going to be coming in from all over, and we are going to be having a Freedom to Assemble rally. We are shooting high. There are people that are being invited. We don't know if they're going to be able to come. I'm not going to mention any names right now. I'm hoping and praying it does happen. But we're going to take a stand. And I understand, you know, the representatives are going to be gone. We're not there for them. We know where they stand. But we want God's people to know, and we want the public to know, that we are assembling. Amen. We are fed up. My wife and I, twice this last week, got on an airplane. The middle seat is empty, but the seats in front of us and behind us are filled with people. There's no 6 foot. And somehow that's okay. But we can't come into a church and sing. We can't come into a church and sit. We have to be outside or we have to be broadcasting. And like one pastor spoke of this last week, he said, hey, as I studied the church in the book of Acts and how the apostles spoke about that, what the Word of God has to say, when it comes to the church, there is one thing that is overriding when it speaks about the church. It's an assembly. We are not detached. We come together. And that is what we are going to let the government know about. Now listen, like I said, if you noticed what the governor did this last week, he has taken some of the choice in the counties and he has made them part of what the state mandates. This is going to court eventually. Praise God, the video that you have seen, that you will see, has been seen well over 2 million times, including by key people, including in the administration in Washington. And they will be helping. But there is possibly going to be a time when people in Washington, all across the board, do not want what we're about. Okay? So, couple of things. Church, I know it's a bigger church over there, but we can afford it, and I believe we ought to do it, and if you would like to give to it, please, by all means, do so. But I believe we need to give $1,000 to North Valley Baptist. They've had other churches that have given money, but I'm telling you, I would hate to have a $5,000 bill per service put on this fellowship. Folks, if it ever did, it wouldn't take too long and we'd be shut down. We're going to possibly learn within the next year what it's like to be an underground church. We are also joining a couple of other churches. In the back here on the table, there is a calendar of September. We are going to fast and pray this next month. You can sign up. You miss one meal, whatever. I've already signed up on it. I encourage you, sign up and then take note of where you have signed. But we need to have every spot filled, and we need to be praying. There is no more just sitting back and observing and deciding whether or not you're going to do what God's Word challenged you to do. There's no more of that. We're going to be finding out who really is part of the local fellowship and who was in it all along just for the fun of it or just to see what they could see. By the way, North Valley, Santa Clara actually sent spies into North Valley to see what they were doing. That's how they knew about what all was taking place. These people are still singing. They saw it online, and then they went in. They admit it. I don't care who finds out what we're doing here. When we are told to sing a new song, we're going to sing a new song. Amen? Amen? We'll take the temperature. If you're sick, stay home. But listen, there are people in the media and there are people in government that are making sure that this will continue because it's about control. It's not about a virus. Again, as you will see, find out, look it up, and by the way, recognize this, that a good bit of the deaths, and every life counts, but a good bit of the deaths are in these convalescent-type hospitals, and also people that had other situations going on, but because they had a third cousin twice removed that had COVID, it was theirs as well. I mean, it's ridiculous. So I want to encourage you. It's a time to pray. Amen? Amen. It's a time to recognize that what we've been talking about before when it comes to, you know, the difficulties that can come on God's people, it's here. It's here. And we'll be seeing that video here in just a little bit. I want to take a few minutes. I'm not going to be able to preach this whole message this morning. I'm going to give what I can. We had started off last Sunday with the first point that we're here to preach the Word. In 2 Timothy 4, we're told the responsibility, preach the Word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. That is the responsibility of the pastors and people in local churches that are born again, bought by the blood of the Lamb. The reason is this, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. I saw a picture of a pastor, so-called, this last week. He said, abortion fits right in with my doctrine, my Christianity. Well, buddy, I don't know where you got yours, but I get mine straight from God's word. Amen. And thou shalt not kill couldn't be any clearer. And if you want to be part of the Margaret Sanger crowd that is burning in hell, then you just go ahead and do that. But we're not there, and it goes to so much more. We need to take a stand. Amen? Amen. There's a reason, and there's a responsibility. Preach the word. Secondly, share the gospel. Turn to Acts chapter 1, if you would, please. Acts chapter 1. That's right. You preach it, buddy. You preach it, I'll turn the pages. Look at verse 6. When they therefore were come together, now the Lord is getting ready to ascend back up into heaven. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now, we, like the disciples here in this account with Christ, were challenged. The first thing that we need to do, Christ, when he comes to us, he says, listen, you need to amend your expectations. See, we can get into the scripture, and there's things that we can think that we see, and we've got to be very careful. He said this, they asked him, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? We need to bring our reasonings, the random reasonings, well, I think, and align them with the word of God. The disciples were still thinking in terms of an earthly, physical Messiah, a physical, a material rule, a reign for them. Why is that? Because, listen, we're set to do this. We see the temporal. Now, hold on with me in this. There's a future aspect to his kingdom, as well as a present rule and reign in human hearts. But some fall into this trap, and we can do it if we're not careful. We look for the security of a Christian culture, rather than a spiritual kingdom brought about by obedience to the Great Commission. I want to see revival, but not because I want an easier time living. We need to see people saved. The prince of the power of the air is here, and he is battling as well as he can. I mean going all out as much as he can to make sure that our message given to us by Christ does not get out. We have the power of God, as we will see. But we've got to keep the focus proper. I love what America was founded on, and it's still in the foundation. I even heard a pastor this last week say this, we're no longer a Christian nation. Well, you've got to stop and you've got to consider, what does that mean? Was there ever a time that most people in the nation were Christians? I don't think so. What makes the difference is this, there were biblical principles that were placed in the founding documents, and they're still there. Whether or not the culture, listen, the culture got lost a long time ago. I mean, it's been growing more and more that direction. It's secular. It's wicked. But the words are still there. This is what we need to understand. We want, by God's grace, a godly culture. We want, by God's grace, more and more a hatred for sinful things. Not just in society in general, but also in government and in the media. Now, I know what people's response is. You really think that's going to happen? You know something? As I was praying last night and this morning, I recognize this. Brother Whiteside, I'm telling you, God has shown me there's so many times I wind up shortening God's arm. Because inside it goes, that ain't going to happen. Yeah, you know, my attitude has just got to be, get thee behind me, Satan. My God can do anything. By the way, can your God do anything? My God walked on water, and it blew their minds. That's nothing. My God can shut up rivers. He can turn the sun back. He can do anything he wants. Now, like I've told you before, the thing that gets us sometimes is we read, like we went to recently, in the last days perilous time shall come. That's true. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. But nowhere, nowhere does the scripture say, and I'm not going to do anything about it. No. We can have revival. I am convinced. I'm absolutely convinced that this has taken place in part because for over 2 years, this church, we have been getting together, other men, we've been getting together, and we've been praying for revival, a revival meeting here. We've got the place. Churches are getting on board. We need to get on board. Folks, we're going to have, listen, October 9th, we're going to be having a rally with pastors. That's a Friday. A week from that Sunday, we're starting with a citywide revival here in Sacramento. It's there for a reason. Now, let me ask you again. Is there any sin in your life or mine that is worth holding on to rather than seeing God do a great work in Sacramento? Is there anything? I don't see it. And I'm talking about the sins of commission and the sins of omission. We need to be praying, God, give us souls. God, give us a burden. Lord, help us to see it. I'm not going to get it to it in the message this morning. But we need to recognize the salvation that we have. We were given, and our commands were very simple and very plain. Go ye. Go ye. So we need to amend our expectations. We don't want something just because we want a culture that's more easy to live with. Like I put on Facebook, I don't like the world that I see coming, but I rejoice in the Savior that is, the Lord that is. And then we need to adjust our focus. Look at verse 7. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. Now I rejoice in the study of eschatology. So much of the Bible is about future things. But I'm sick and tired of seeing people getting divided and getting angry with each other over this. Listen, get away with it. Get away from it, I should say. You get on your side. God has control over here. You do what God has told you to do. We must always remember this. Christ is the one that is going to set his kingdom on earth. Right now, instead of being fascinated with possibilities, we need to be busy about the certainties and the commands. Our concern is the proclaiming of the salvation that is in Jesus Christ. He rebuked their question with two things. He says, number one, it's not for you to know. It's not for you to know. Number two, the Father hath put these the times in his own power. I just know this. There's coming a day we're going to be standing before him. And he's not going to reward us on how well we argued about things. It's how we took his revealed word and we stood on it and we obeyed it. Too often, we wind up getting into speculations. There's a couple of examples. Remember, I've told you before, Proverbs 3:6, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. In all thy ways acknowledge him. That's man's side. And he shall direct thy paths. That's God's side. He shall direct thy paths. The problem is we wind up over here going, I got to figure out where I want to be. No. You get back on your side. In all thy ways acknowledge him. You take care of the what. He'll take care of the where. You study, you get your life prepared, he'll plan your life. Amen? So amend our expectations. Adjust our focus. And I mean, this is a rebuke on us. I'm telling you, God has been kicking me around in this last week. Would you do this? And I'm not saying this selfishly. I'm trying not to. Pray for your preacher. Folks, I want so much to have the right focus. I want so much to have the wisdom in these days to guide us. I don't want to do something stupid that's going to bring this local fellowship down. And believe me, I'm not the only pastor feeling like this. But we are in waters we have never been in. Our generation has never been in. So I don't want to put a chip on my shoulder, stand in front of government, and dare them to knock it off. But at the same time, as the word has been revealed to us, I want to stand before them and say, excuse me, we ought to obey God rather than man. The building, it's not about the building, as Pastor Treber will say. It's the assembly. If we were able to meet outside, it'd be great. You enjoy that? I'm telling you, when we do that, if we're able to next week, bring your camping chairs. I'm going to bring my camping chair. I feel like bringing the little fire ring. I don't know if that, you know, if the fire department would enjoy that, but that'd be a kick. That'd be great. Somebody bring the marshmallows. We'll have it with the picnic. Thirdly, we need to embrace our calling. Look at this, verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. I love that phrase. Do you realize, okay, we serve a triune God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Do you realize that our God is as much on this earth right now as he was 2,000 years ago as Jesus Christ? He's here. It's not that he's near, he is near, but he's here. And he goes with you, and he goes with me. In fact, he indwells us, and that is something that they didn't have in the Old Testament. But we have him. What a joy! I am so glad for that presence. I'm so glad that our God loves us that much. I was focused this last week on the love of God. Folks, don't meditate on what's going wrong with the world. God has it in control. Meditate on who's in control and how much he loves you. I have loved thee with an everlasting love, he told Jeremiah. Think of that. Romans 8, who shall separate us from the love of God? Who shall separate us? I want to get into that, but I'm not going to. The believer's equipping power is this. It's not our personality. It's God come to indwell his own. They asked about the kingdom. They asked their leadership and authority Christ had promised. All right, this is who he is. It would be the very power of God himself. And the reason why he would come, the major purpose, was to equip the believer to carry out his task. It wouldn't be up to our natural abilities. This guy doesn't have the natural ability to stand in front of you and preach God's word with power. That must come from the Holy Spirit. For you to receive God's word, it must come from the Holy Spirit. Glory in that. Off and on this last week, I've been fighting tears because it's like, Lord, we've got to see this. We've got to understand what we're in now, the time and the place. It was almost a year ago, I believe, the Lord gave me the theme for this year. For such a time as this. Oh, brother, we had no idea. For such a time as this. Amen. Praise God. For such a time as this, he's with us. He is with us. I am so glad. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, he said. The Great Commission. Now listen to this. Oh, praise God. Good to see this man right here. How you doing, Brother John? Oh, I am so glad. Thank you for coming, man. Thank you for coming. By the way, I got to tell you about this. I met a hero this last week. I met, there's a man in the church there in New Mexico. He was in Vietnam, 1965. He was with Colonel Moore in the I Drang Valley. That first battle that was horrendous, where hundreds of our men were killed. It was and things went wrong and stuff, but he was there. It was such a joy to meet him. Listen, ye shall be witnesses. The Great Commission is based not on the need of the lost. Wait a minute. The Great Commission is based not on the need of the lost, but on the authority of Jesus Christ over us. Listen. Matthew 28:18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power, Greek word, authority, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore. Now we see the need. Without Christ, our world crumbles under the weight of sin and Satan. Jesus Christ came, and it is his authority that says, go. And he says then, lo, I am with you always. So it comes down to obedience. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. It's given to us. And the words unto me, he says, listen, it's my responsibility. It's my authority. He says, I want you to be a witness. It's where we get, it's the Greek word martyros, where we get the word martyr. The believer is to be that committed, whatever it takes, whatever it takes. Christ set himself apart for this task. In John 17:19, the Bible says, and for their sake, he, as he was praying, said, I sanctify myself. He wasn't set apart to stay pure. He was set apart to do what is needed here. That's why he prayed, not as I will, but as thou wilt. It was the denying of his holy self that made this marvelous beauty in his life. If we have entered into this experience of sanctification, what are we doing with our holy selves? We are set apart. We are the ecclesia. We are the called out ones. That's why we're told, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father. Not you, your Father, which is in heaven. John 5:19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he see the Father do. And that is ours as well to do. That is where we're at. Share the gospel. Preach the word. And next week, we will look at these other two. Serve Christ. Glorify God. But I want to take the time to show the video to those that are here. I praise God for those that have been able to join us online. We miss you. These are strange times. But our God has not abandoned us. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would do a great work in the local churches here in America and especially in California. Lord, I pray that your people would not see this time as an opportunity to flee to another state, but Lord, to recognize that it's every possibility they are called here to take a stand for Jesus Christ. Help us to recognize this. Lord, I love these folks. I'm so glad they're here. May your will be done in our lives. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.